Good morning. This is our study on the book of Revelation, and we're in our study of part three. We have divided this study into Revelation part one, two, and three, and so this is part three, and today we are on lesson seven, and this lesson is about the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And our study focuses mostly on Luke chapter 21. But we're going to do some reviewing today, as we always do, so that we can bring it together and use God's Word as it's written out. And there are several scriptures that relate to the future that God gave his prophets. And we know that this study, the book of Revelation, was given to John, the disciple of the future, of the unveiling of the future of Jesus. And it's all about Jesus. So let us begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, praise you, we praise you for who you are, Almighty God. And Father, we want you to teach us as we come before you today. We know that we can learn only through the Holy Spirit. And we just ask now that he will teach us and guide us through your word, that we may know you more, that we may live it every day, and Father, that we will reach out to those that don't know you and tell them about Jesus. And we ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. So here we're looking at a review about what happened at the seventh trumpet. So the pivotal point in Revelation about the seventh trumpet is in chapters 6 through 20. And so as Jesus himself spoke in the book of Matthew 24 and 25, and in Luke 21, we get a visual aid or a comparison of what we see in Revelation chapter 6 through 20. So, looking then at a timeline, we see the seventh trumpet, and then we see the abomination of desolation that we've studied, and the man of lawlessness taking his seat in the temple, declaring himself God. So, what did we learn then that happens in the 3.5 years of tribulation before and after? Now, the first half of tribulation, the first 3.5 years, we studied about the true witnesses prophesying during this time and preaching. And then we also learned the beast, which is the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, kills them and sets himself up in the temple as God, and the people were to worship him. So then he made a covenant at the beginning of the 3.5 years with the Jews and many nations. And there was a temple built. He allows the temple to be built. And that was by the time of the seventh trumpet. And the man of lawlessness breaks the covenant, the Antichrist breaks the covenant, seating himself in the temple. And then for 3.5 years, the abomination of desolation, that refers to the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, and he sets himself up at that time to rule the world, and God is pouring out his bowls of wrath. So we know that this is taking place in the latter half of tribulation, the last 3.5 years. And we read also that Israel was told to flee to the wilderness during these last 3.5 years while the king makes war with the rest of the children. And this was called the Great Tribulation for Israel for at that time. And then we learned that Jesus' coming ends the 7-year period. And we also learned in the book of Daniel that this was the 70th week of this the end of tribulation. So whenever Jesus comes after the tribulation, we have learned that when he returns, he sets up his earthly kingdom for 1,000 years. And by first separating the nations into the righteous that enter the kingdom and the wicked who are thrown in the lake of fire. Now, this is just a review of what we have studied in the first part 1 and part 2 of Revelation that covered chapter 1 through chapter 22. And then we studied in Matthew how that Jesus spoke to the disciples and told them that they had asked the question, when would the end be? And of course, he explains to them and tells them all the things that have to take place. And now we're going to look at Luke and see what is given to Luke to write down concerning the end times. So let's look at verses 28 through 40. And I'll read these because this is concerning the triumphal entry of Jesus before his crucifixion. After he had said these things, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he approached Bethpage and Bethany near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you. There, as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went up way and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he was going, they were spreading their coats on the road. As soon as he was approaching near the descent of Mount Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, 'Peace, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out." So let's see what this is all about. Here we see that this is an event that takes place of Jesus entering into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And it was just a week before his death. And the people here of Jerusalem called him the King who comes in the name of the Lord. So here they are praising and saying that this Jesus is the King that is coming in the name of the Lord. So let's continue now to read verses 41 through 44 and see what these verses say to us. "And when he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, 'If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side. And they will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation.' Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling, saying to them, 'It is written, and my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a robber's den.'" Now, looking at 41 through 44, we see that as Jesus approached Jerusalem, that he wept. Why did he weep? He knew the judgments that were coming because Israel did not recognize the time of her visitation. The Messiah had come, but they rejected him. He was their Messiah. It had been written in the Old Testament, and they had read and studied, but they now, as he has come, they don't recognize him. So he knows that judgment is going to come upon these in Jerusalem. And we know in 70 AD, the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. Now, Israel was not a nation again until May 1948. So we see here that as Jesus is speaking to them, he says, when he spoke and said that, "And they that come will, your enemies, they're going to take this place, Jerusalem, and they're going to set it on fire and burn it, and there will not be one stone upon the other that will not be turned because the Romans take control and they destroy the temple and Jerusalem at this time. Now, in the book of Daniel, we see in chapter 9, verses 24-26, that Daniel was given the vision about the same thing that Jesus is saying to them. And I want to read verses 24 through 26 of Daniel 9. And this is called the 70 weeks and the Messiah. So starting with verse 24, this is what God gave to Daniel of the coming of the end times. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and it will be built again with plasma and moat, even in times of stress. Then after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing, and the people of the Prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and it will come with a flood even to the end. There will be war, and desolations are determined. So what we see in these verses, Daniel specifically predicted when the Messiah would come. And it also prophesied the destruction of the city that we just read in the book of Luke, and the sanctuary by the people of the Prince who is to come. And of course, we know at this time it was speaking of the Romans. And that was the end of the 69th week of Daniel's 70 weeks decreed for his people, the holy city, and that left 1 week. So we want to go back now and look at Luke 21 and see the connection of all of this, because this is all bringing together of what we have studied that was given to John by Jesus' angel in about the end times. And all of these are referring to what will happen to Israel and to the people that refuse to accept Jesus as their Messiah. Let's read now in Luke 21, verse 1 through 9. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw a poor widow putting in 2 small coins. And he said, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them. For they all, out of their surplus, put into the offering, but she put in her poverty, put in all that she had to live on." And while some were talking about the temple that was adorned with beautiful stones and votive cups, he said, and this is Jesus speaking, "As for these things which you're looking at, the days will come in which there will not be left one stone upon another which will not be torn down." And they questioned him, saying, "Teacher, when therefore will these things happen, and what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See to it that you are not misled, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and disturbances, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end does not follow immediately. So Jesus' disciples here, they had gone to the temple, and they were admiring the beauty of the temple. But Jesus had responded to them, telling them that it was going to be torn down. And this is what we studied recently in the verses that we read in 19, aware that there would not be one stone left upon another. And he was referring to the time that the Romans would come and destroy the temple in AD 70. And then the disciples began to ask questions about when would it happen and what would the sign be. And in verses 8 through 11, it sounds a lot like what we read in Matthew 24:2-7. Let's see what those verses said in Matthew 24, verses 2 through 7. And he, Jesus, said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, one stone here will be left, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down." And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when all of these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age." And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes." So here we see that these verses that were written by Luke and by Matthew were words of Jesus telling them. They had asked when the end of time would come, and this is what he explained, and we have it written both by Luke and Matthew, almost exactly the same things Jesus was speaking. So let's go on now and read verses 12 through 19 of Luke 21. "But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. So make up your minds not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves, for I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. But you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. Yet not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives." So Jesus said here that some events will recur before the things that he mentioned in verses 8 through 11. These events will take place. And he was giving these to the disciples, and he told them that they would be persecuted and delivered to synagogues and prisons. And at this time, their persecution would give them an opportunity to testify about him as being the Messiah, and they would also be betrayed by friends and family, and they would some be killed because of his name. But he promised them that they would gain life, eternal life. And so Jesus' disciples will experience the same persecution and rejection that he did. And we have studied that in the Bible, how that the disciples, as they went out to preach the gospel after Jesus ascended to heaven, after his resurrection, then they began to preach the word. They began to testify all of these things that they had learned from Jesus. Now let's look at verses 20 through 24. We want to compare these verses with Matthew 24, 15 through 24, and Luke 19, verses 41 through 44. So let's look now at Matthew 24, and we'll do a comparison of what he is saying to them. That's what this study is about. It's about comparing scripture with scripture, because nothing that is written contradicts the other. They're all speaking the word of God as it was given to them through the Holy Spirit. So that's what we want to do, is to know that God's word is truth and it never contradicts itself. It's always truth. And so let's look at Matthew 15:24. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get the things out that are in his house, and whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe him. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. So the question then in verses 5 and through 7 was, when the temple was torn down, and that's what we were talking about, after the temple was torn. And in verse 20, Jesus began to answer the question by telling them that that Jerusalem would be surrounded by armies. Now, unlike Matthew 24, there's no mention of the abomination of desolation or the great tribulation, which is the cause to flee. So comparing it with Luke 19, 43 through 44, it seems to refer to the same event. The Romans surrounding Jerusalem in AD 70, destroying the city. Now, in Luke, Jesus said that Israel would be destroyed because it didn't recognize the time of her visitation. That was referring to his coming as Messiah. When he came, they did not receive him. They didn't recognize him as the Messiah. Some did, but many did not. And in Luke 21, he mentions to a few of his disciples that the temple would be torn down. And then they ask him in verses 20 through 24, and we know that was referring to AD 70 and not to the end times. And then in Luke 20, verses 20 through 22, Jesus called this Jerusalem's desolation and a day of vengeance. And he said there would be wrath against the people, against the Jews, and they would be killed by the sword and led captive. Now, this is not what Matthew 24 says, and this is not what will happen at the end time, but it will happen in AD 70. So there is a distinguishment between the time when the temple will be torn down by the Romans in AD 70 and the time that he speaks of as the end times, which will be the last 7 years, the year of tribulation. Let's look at verses 41 through 44 of Luke. When he approached Jerusalem, when Jesus approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side. And they will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." And that's what we were just saying. That Israel, Jerusalem was destroyed because they did not recognize that he was the Messiah. They would not accept that he was the Messiah. So, said, because of the days of vengeance, so that all things, this is verse 22, which are written will be fulfilled. Woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be a great distress upon the land and wrath to the people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles, speaking of the Romans, until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Now, Jesus said that the Gentiles would tread or trample underfoot Jerusalem until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Now, the times of the Gentiles refers to the time or the period when the Gentiles are trampling or taking over Jerusalem. And we're going to study in our next lesson about this time of the Gentiles. And so we won't discuss that any further at this point. Now then, let's look at Luke 21, verses 25 through 28. And this is all about the return of Jesus. And this is referring to the end of when Jesus will return. And verse 25 says, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth dismay among nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. In verse 28, but when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And then he told them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they put forth leaves, you see it and know for yourselves the summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So the main events that he speaks to us about compares with Matthew 24. As he spoke to his disciples here in Luke and also in Matthew, he gave them the main things that would take place before they would see the Son of Man coming. And first of all, he spoke of the signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And then he spoke of distress among the nations and perplexity because of the seas roaring and the waves, and fear and expectation, and powers of heaven shaken. And then he said you would see the Son of Man coming. Now, in Revelation 16, when the bowls of wrath were poured out on the last 3.5 years, this is when the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, reigns. And this is also comparing with what Jesus was saying to the disciples in Matthew and in Luke. The same thing he said, be on guard, watch, be alert, be awake. So Jesus is warning his disciples and all, including us, who read his statements about things to come. And he warned them not only of Jerusalem's destruction in AD 70, but also of the end times that will be the last 7 years of the time of tribulation. And verse 33 says that heaven and earth will pass away. And we read that in Revelation as we studied in chapters 20, 21 and 22, when he spoke of a new heaven and a new earth. And then look at verses 34 of Luke 34 and through 38. Be on guard. That's what he was talking about. So that your hearts will not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and worries of life, and that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. But keep on alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Now during the day he was teaching in the temple, but at evening he would go out and spend the night on the mount that is called Olivet. And all the people would get up early in the morning to come to him in the temple to listen to him. So in these verses, we know that the time is near. And here he talks about the redemption of those that have believed upon the name of the Messiah. It is coming to an end when Jesus is coming back and he's going to set up his kingdom here on this earth. And all the righteous and all those that have believed upon his name will be saved at this time. We know that first, after the church age, there will be a rapture, and Jesus will come and rapture or catch up his people, those that are believers. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us that those that have died in Christ that are believers will come forth out of the grave first. And then those that are on the earth at that time, all will be caught up with and given new bodies and be with Jesus. And here we know that as the end of the tribulation comes and Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom here on this earth after tribulation, that those that have been caught up with him, the righteous, and those that are righteous in the time of tribulation that have been saved, all of the righteous will be with him on earth to live for 1,000 years. And then we know that at that time the false prophet and the Antichrist will be cast into the lake of fire. But we have learned in our study that Satan will be put in the abyss, a place of holding for him, until the 1,000 years is up. And then he'll be loosed for a short period of time. And then after that, there will be judgment for all the unsaved, all the unbelievers, the great white throne judgment. And then Satan and all those that have not believed will be cast into the lake of fire, where they will be eternally. Now, after that, we know that there is a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. And that's where God's people will reign and be with him eternally forever, as we studied in the 21st and 22nd chapter of Revelation. So this completes our study today in Lesson 7. And next week we will be studying the times of the Gentiles, and that will be Lesson 8. So continue to pray and to study the Word of God and ask for guidance through the Holy Spirit, and pray for me that God will use me for his honor and for his glory. So we will close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do pray as we continue to study your word. If you don't come before we study our next lesson, because we know according to your word that you will come when we're least expecting, so we never know the day or the hour. Only God himself knows. Only you, Father, know. And we just pray that We will stay close to you. We will stay prayed up, that we will be alert and that we'll be ready. And we pray for those that are not ready, that they too, their eyes will be opened and they will accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we praise you and give you all the honor. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.